So I see it, and I was like, no, Kev. I'm crying. My partner's like, Richard, like, yeah, that was a good dunk. But, like, the whole place is rattling because I'm going crazy. I'm doing the game. I send it to those two clowns. They go into halftime. They both reply.
All right, welcome into this edition of Road Trippin' with RJ and Channing, minus RJ. I'm your host, Allie Clifton. Can we just have a moment, Channing, please? Damn. Because Richard is not here for, I mean, name it.
Richard's computer, I know. Richard's computer basically conked out. Richard's computer said, man, fuck y'all. I'm done.
Technical difficulties.
Oh, for sure. You know when the Popeye's chicken sandwiches came out, and then there was that one lady sitting on a bench exhausted. That's Richard's computer. It just don't want to work.
It's okay if we share that insight because we've actually put it out there several times, the way in which we start podcasts. We love Richard, but we have our moments with him and his technology.
Oh boy, Richard's like a 70-year-old man. It's like, Richard, go hit menu, then go put your password in. like resetting the DVD player.
Seriously, does anyone use DVD players anymore?
No, if they do, boy.
It's in the car.
Are you simple? It's what? No, you have iPads.
DVD players are in the cars, right? On the back of the seats?
Yeah. There is some, but you just get your kid iPads nowadays, Allie. It's easy. Mm. They don't have to watch.
I guess I don't have kids. Movie. I wouldn't know. I actually need to call myself out for something, and it can become a fun game. I watched our Road Trippin' episode from The Win over the weekend. Tight. And actually someone, maybe the last episode or episode before, tweeted at us and said, we have a new game. Every time Allie says, with that said, take a shot. Oh, I God. Say that phrase.
People be lit.
All the time. You would be drunk in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, you said at least 10 times last time.
Thanks for holding me accountable. I appreciate it. I am going to do better with that. Where are you coming to us from, though, today? Because that's not a background.
Crescent City, California, beautiful beaches. But here's the, this is a word of the day, caveat. So I had to work Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's my kids' spring break. I came here with our best friends. They have four kids. I have four kids. But my boy, Brian Baldwin, Big Brino, had a job, emergency job thing he had to go. So it's me, the two wives, and eight kids under 11. So you want to know why your boy been sipping a rosé. But
it's not even 10:30.
What do you mean? Don't judge me. I'm in the wine industry.
That's not why you're drinking.
You're right. No, definitely not. Definitely not. But I was driving here. It's 5.5 hours from Portland, which was a solid drive. Now, this is going to be a long-winded story, but we got an hour, so listen.
I don't mind driving.
Yeah. Right? I don't mind driving. So the 5.5 hours was like, dang, what am I going to do? And I'm not used to being by myself. So like I got to section the time out accordingly. I figured out if I listen to one genre for 1 hour, it makes the trip go so much faster. So like I put on 90s West Coast hip hop for 1 hour.
Okay. Right?
Then I put on 90s East Coast hip hop for 1 hour. Then I put on like Sammy Davis Jr. radio for 1 hour. Then I put on, I was getting sleepy. It was early in the morning. Then I put on like Skrillex dubstep for 1 hour. And then, dumping, because that was more the straightaway, and I have a new car, a new truck, and so I was moving.
You got rid of the Shelby?
Yeah, for another Shelby.
Oh, of course you did.
I will never not have a Shelby. They are the best trucks I've ever had, and it is like a godsend that something is that big, I could get kind of rough with it, and it fits me. But yeah, dude, five and a half hours later, I'm here. And so, I drove through the redwoods is why we're here. The redwoods are here. I live in Oregon. I've seen trees. Trees are not exciting. I was giddy driving through these stupid trees. If you could imagine how big these redwoods are, you feel like a little matchbox car driving in between it where you're like, I can't even tilt my head far enough to see the top. That's how big they are. And why, they're huge.
Why is it taking us till episode 177 where we have like just a beautiful in-depth conversation about road tripping? Like legit road tripping. You just broke down a road trip for yourself. And actually, I you our fans, our listeners, will start to do that little genre thing when it comes to road trips. That's actually kind of smart.
Well, since the pandemic, we got some four kids. We had an Escalade. And when we retired, I'm like, I don't want to get on an airplane with all four of our kids. So I got my wife a custom van, Sprinter van. We go everywhere. We've been to Idaho. We take every year, we go camping for a week, like camping. Not
yeah,
black
the camping
people
thing
camping,
is really cool. Yeah.
White people camping with two boats. We go legit, like you got to wash dishes in the lake camping. It was tough for me to do the first year. Now
but it's really kind of cool.
It is the best. We play Beersby in the lake all day. We have a Beersby tournament. We have two boats now, a pontoon and a wakeboard boat. So if people want to wake surf or wake skate or wakeboard, they can do that. I'm the pontoon guy, and the pontoon got a fatty system in it. And so we just do booze cruises at the end of the day. We just cruise around the lake and then come on back and get to eating.
Oh my God. Okay. Can I first ask you then, because if you're a pontoon guy, before we talk, we're going to get into the NBA. Trust me, because Channing has a lot of things to talk about, a lot of topics. But before we get there, really quick, you just talked about the five genres that you listen to. One, I want to know why country is not on that list, especially when you're out in like nature and driving and traveling. Why wasn't country a part of your hour? And you know that there is an awesome on a pontoon song in the country.
Oh, dude, I love that song. But you can only play on a pontoon the first time you get on the pontoon. So 12 years ago, I bought a 1965 Lincoln Continental, right? Mm-hmm. White walls. I put 22-inch white walls. I spent the last 2 years getting it completely remodeled. New electrical, new everything. So it's the same engine. It's ridiculous, right? It's the car that Lincoln, or not Lincoln, it's the car that JFK got shot at. That style.
Jesus.
So every time we start that car, the beginning of the summer, you can only play Jimi Hendrix in it. The first day. That is a thing. When you get in the pontoon, you have to play the pontoon song, and then it has to be country. There are just
certain things. Cheating is so normal.
Very normal. Yeah, you got to play the pontoon or Red Solo Cup. Those are my jams. Okay. And then, but country is reserved to Sundays by the pool. One, country is reserved to grilling with my wife's side of the family or people I know from Arizona.
Yeah.
Country's kind of niche. We got a lot of kids. And you don't want to put them to sleep too early. So,
Stop it. There are some good jams. Okay, let's dive into the NBA, the latest. I have to start with this because I think we need to give our fans what they want. And the bulk of our fans grew up with the Cavs championship team, of course, and what has transpired. I want to know the funniest thing that was said on the text chain after K-Love had a moment.
Oh, we were crying laughing. We were like, poor Kevin, nominee, Patrice, so me. LeBron baptized him. We said, why? Kevin, no! Like, the text chain was funny. My reaction to seeing it live was even funnier.
Why?
I was like, no! You know, like the old 80s when, like, you know, 30 minutes into the movie where somebody dies, right? And they're holding him and you're just like, no, you know, that thing. And dude, when Bron did it, he couldn't look at Kevin because that's a big play for the Lakers and they need all the big plays. So he, you notice he did not look at Kevin or he would have started laughing. Right. And like the referees were like, okay, we can't call anything. We just got to let that ride. Like, just go. Just keep it going. But, like, I think the funny thing is, like, on the text chain, everybody had watched it. Everyone thought it was funny. But then we started to realize, like, I don't know. Obviously, we don't know. And I talk about the text chain the most. I don't know if there's a group of guys on a team that talk as much as we do daily, all the time. about everything. So I think, like, you know, the 10-year reunion, you know, the 20-year reunion, whatever it is going to be pretty interesting, pretty amazing. But still, like, keeping up with all those guys to make sure everyone's doing okay and make sure, like, everything is fine. And just to laugh at those things, you know?
Yeah.
Even laughing at Tristan getting bodied by Giannis.
You have these, like, moments all the time.
Poor Tristan. We're just
think,
like,
about it.
It's just... It's,
who like, is on, really quick, who is on the text chain?
Tristan, Kevin, JR, Bron, Richard, yeah, Swish, and myself.
Okay, so there's three out, three still in the league.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, go on. What were you saying?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And then it was bigger, and then it just, like, shriveled down to that just because we don't want to deal with Delhi being overseas, you know.
You need to move that to WhatsApp.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, Kyrie's on another team, Shump. But, like, we always, like, Shump does well. We always, like, damn, y'all mm-hmm. watching Shump, like, get your people to vote. Like, there's always support. Like, Kyrie's balling. He's doing his thing. You know, I know a buddy. Now, this is wild. I know a buddy that knows Mazi that is in Russia right now. And, that's, like, was talking to Mazi, which is, yeah. So he's going through, he's trying to get out of Russia because he knows what's going on. But, like, he says that's not what they're hearing. It's a whole wildness. And then obviously Delhi's still hooping in Australia. Mo Williams, I think, got the job at Jackson State, right? Down there with Deion Sanders at HBCU.
I think, like, the moral to all of this is just, it's so cool to see that you guys are still so connected. And even the ones that aren't connected on the text chain, but are a part of that team. To your point, like, you're still checking up on, you still care about, the support is still there. I think that's so awesome.
We were legit friends. I think that was different. Dang, that car was trash.
I thought it was like a race.
Making all that noise. You better stop it.
Okay. So with that said, drink, Channing. All we've talked about, Rich, since you've been gone is, one, every time Allie says, with that said, you have to take a drink. That's the new game upon our listeners right now, apparently. I say that phrase a lot. So we're ready to get drunk. Two, we talked about the text chain with Kevin Love.
Yeah. So I was again, okay, now it's my turn. I was the first person because I was doing the game. So I see it and I was like, no, Kev, I'm crying. My partner's like, Richard, like, yeah, that was a good dunk. But, like, the whole place is rattling because I'm going crazy. So in the middle, he's like, yeah, like, the replay's going on, which I'm supposed to be talking about. I'm not doing that. I'm looking down at my phone, just texting. Wow. Knowing this is the best part. This is the best part. And I have a feeling it's going to get clipped for social. This is the best part about our tech shame. I'm doing the game. I send it to those two clowns. They go into halftime. They both reply.
At halftime?
Stop it. They knew it. They're dying laughing.
They're because it's like a kid. Like, look, it's like people say it's deeper than basketball. It's deeper than basketball with our crew. And it ain't just because we won a championship. It's a true, like, fucking funny, like, supportive brotherhood that we have. And it's rare. Like, dude, you play sports your whole life. It might be your high school teammates, your college teammates, like one of the 17 teams Channing and I played for. But that shit was so funny. The fact that I was doing, well, I played for 11.
It's really 5.5. I don't count the Lakers. I was more.
Bitch, you have a Laker jersey. You have.
Oh, the Kobe version is sick.
So you got a Laker jersey.
I love that one.
You got a Laker jersey. No, but that...
I played 9 games for Luka.
But that was the funniest part is that, like, I'm doing the game. I'm going crazy. I send a text to the group chain and both of them are just laughing in the thing. They know. That I will say, though, hype randomly, that was the biggest change for me as we got older in the league. It was like... It went from, like, everyone had their phones, right? Like, no one had phones. No one had cell phones when I first came into the league. Like, it was like, you know, they were just starting to get them. But text messages weren't a thing. You just had to remember what time the bus was. Or, like, you'd have to get a wake-up call for the bus. It was crazy. And if your wake-up call didn't come, Oh, 100%. Every road trip, every practice, if your wake-up call, you couldn't even make that an excuse. So then all of a sudden it transitioned to like guys being on their phones on the bus. And there was teams that were like no phones on the bus, right? And then Utah, Charlotte was like that. They were like no phones on the bus. Then it started transferring to like, okay, everyone in the world has phones. But then the last fucking part was I was so tripped out when we would get into the locker room when I was on a young team towards the end of my career. And it would be like everyone was on their phones in the locker room at halftime. And I'm like, unless there's something like important going, and then obviously that mindset fucking changed quickly. Motherfuckers are showing Bleacher Report highlights of fucking other stuff. They're showing ESPN.
During games?
No, at halftime, like guys halftime? Are like, yo, look at this. Check this out. Check it out. Yo, look at the duck. Yo, did you see what so-and-so did? Now, don't get me wrong. You don't like sit on your phones the whole time as the coaches come in. You are on your phone. Okay. You're whatever. You get your ice. It's not like the whole time. Everyone's kind of talking, whatever. And then if there's a moment or two, you kind of check your phone. That's all it is. But it's still something that took a little bit of getting used to.
We talk about the evolution of the game. You guys talk about the evolution of the cell phone use when it comes.
Yeah,
to
we don't give a shit about the game. We were there.
Okay, we've got about 25 minutes to crank through these NBA topics. And it was perfect timing, Rich, when you logged on, because we were just getting into the first one because Channing gave us a tour of
Richard
his...
got about 10.
Yeah, I got about 10.
Richard, or Channing gave us a tour of his road trip, which was actually pretty cool.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Anyways, Zion, that's where we're starting. And I'm going to read this tweet now from Channing because I loved
Channing.
It.
By
Channing. So obviously there was a tweet put out that Zion had put out on his social media account, and Sports Illustrated picked it up, and Channing responded to that saying, "I've been pretty tough on Zion only because he has been gifted with an opportunity to be the best. Not everyone has that. The videos of him shirtless, dunking, doing things most players do, we hate, but we want more Zion. Let us into your journey so we don't assume what's going on."
Oh, I don't see. Channing is so articulate and intelligent. I don't give a fuck. Fuck his journey. No, I'm joking. No, but this is what I say about it is that, I'm going to continue to be tough. Like Zion, this ain't fucking high school, bro. We all fell in love with your high school highlights. Like, that's part of the reason why you were a phenom, because you had this unique ability. Like Channing said, you think after really not speaking to the media, after not playing all year long, after not being with your team, you're going to show a video of like, I'm almost back, bro. I'm actually on the media side where I don't think that like players owe it to the media to talk and be a certain way. If that's not your personality, do you just have to do your requirements, whatever your requirements are? If you're with the team, if you're playing, injured players do not have to talk, and he's injured. That being said, he wants people to buy his shoes. He wants people to spend money and endorse his brand. He wants people to buy his jersey. But then a few days after the team says that he is completely shut down for the rest of the season, he's doing a between the legs windmill dunk. If that's not the most fucking tone deaf shit, and on top of it, let's add one more layer. The New Orleans market, we can all be honest, it is one of the smaller markets. Like we can be honest and talk about the community there has been through a lot. Like their hard-earned dollars go a long way. Their hard-earned dollars, like, it's not LA, it's not Chicago, where there's just a ton of corporate sponsors that buy up half the seats and all that. No, this is a very blue-collar town of hardworking people. And then it's kind of disrespectful, in my opinion, to say you're shut down for the season, have zero communication, and you're posting, like, dunks that would win the dunk contest saying, hey, guys, I'm fine. But there's no context. There's no nothing. So while in the media, you want us to be nicer to you and be more respectful, the fan base, you've already seen the fan base start to turn on you. And if you think, and all these rumors that he wants to go to New York, ask fucking Julius Randle how that's going. Ask Julius Randle how New York is going. You try and pull this exact same shit. You pull this exact same shit in New York, they'll make you want to quit basketball. they'll make you want to quit basketball. And if you don't think that that's real, ask Ben Simmons how things are going, right? Like, let's be honest. Like, man, these fan bases don't give a shit after a while. They stop caring. So I want more from Zion from the space of, like Channing said, I think he can be great. I think he could be one of the greats of all time. But the way this is being played out privately with zero communication, that's only going to hurt his brand. That's going to hurt his shoe sales. That's going to hurt his jersey sales. That's going to hurt interest in his overall brand. So while you might be by his people or parents or agents, while they might be trying to protect him, ultimately, there's a time where it starts to be counterproductive and they're probably doing him a disservice, in my humble opinion.
Channing.
Richard makes good points, but I think the difference between Zion being quiet versus a Kawhi Leonard being quiet is Kawhi Leonard plays and played and was like elite. Zion had one good year. Like, okay, and everyone goes, well, he's an all-star. He did this. Jamal McGlure, no offense to Jamal McGlure. Jamal McGlure was an all-star for 1 year. And we could all agree that Jamal McGlure is not an all-star. We could just agree on that. He had a good year. So for me, if you have a responsibility, I feel, to when you're a Zion, when you're that captivating, to at least, even if you lie to us a little bit, let us in on your journey. He is one of the most unique players we have ever seen in the NBA. For as big as he is, to move the way he does, I would like to see how he maneuvers a little bit.
Yeah.
Just give me something, right? Don't, and to Richard's point, don't do a windmill dunk off the backboard a week after they say you're shutting down. Don't come back and do this now that your team is getting ready to go into the playoffs. Don't do this now because people were talking about you. Do this because that is a responsibility that you have as being one of the most captivating. If people had a list of 10 players that they're going to pay top dollar to see if they're healthy, I bet you Zion is top 10.
That's why I say it. Go ahead, Allie.
Can I ask a question? Did he do this because, and clearly I'm asking because we don't know, right? He's not letting us in or hasn't let us in a part of what he's gone through. Is this a way of him being upset with how they've handled him?
He ain't injured himself. He ain't, like, the Pelicans didn't injure him.
I know, but I'm saying to your point, the rumors that he wants out and he wants to go to New York.
Do I think he wants to be in New Orleans?
Exactly. No. Is this a way of life?
Why does he want to go to New York? Why does he want to go to New York?
I don't know. I'm not getting into the. I'm not even saying he wants to. There's just these stupid rumors. We're just addressing this. We're just going to address that.
And I'm asking the question of in terms of why would you put this out to your point after you've been shut down and you know what your team is about to go through?
Because
you're sensitive to what everyone's talking about.
Well, and the other part about this is let's say hypothetically that. His contract is up, or not contract is up, but he can get a contract extension this summer. And you know what? Joel Embiid got a contract. Joel Embiid got a contract extension after playing literally 30 games. I know. I'm just saying there is a person who's about to win the MVP this year, it looks like, that only played 30 games in his first 3 years.
Very different.
I understand. I'm just giving an example.
Very different player.
But also,
7 foot, 2 guards.
Yeah, but again.
Not a 6'6 guy.
Yeah, but you can't say that. And then 30 seconds prior, talk about how he has a chance to be one of the most unique and special players.
He does.
Okay, then. So that's so did Joel Embiid. You're using the same premise. You're just using the same premise. Okay. My only point is that if his contract is up in 3 years and it has a chance for an extension, let's say New Orleans, like, fuck you, we're not giving you a max extension. But like, he's shown to people that he's healthy. He's showing to people that he's healthy or that he's working his way back to the elite physical specimen that everyone knows him to be, that opens up positions to be traded. That's like, hey, listen, you're going to take him as is. He's weighing 285 pounds and you've seen his dunks on social media. Like, that's what
someone's really interested in you, though, take him behind the closed door. You don't need to put it out there on social media.
But what I'm saying is a team, he's not going to work out for a team. If let's say they're going to not offer an extension this summer and he wants to be traded. right? Let's say he plays that game. I'm just making this up. People, this is not real. He has not requested it. We have a ton of roots, but we're just playing the hypothetical game. Let's just say hypothetically, very similar to DeAndre Ayton. He just went to the NBA Finals. He was averaging 18-9, and he didn't get his extension, right? So, like, this stuff happens with players that are playing and playing well and getting better every year and going to NBA Finals. Players don't get their extension. So let's, and he was the number one pick, right? So let's say this number one pick doesn't, right? If he doesn't get his contract extension, how will he handle it? Well, he could be putting out messages that I'm healthy, right? I just, you guys, as much as you're,
I know, does that seem entitled, Richard? Does that seem entitled?
Everything about this process has been entitled. Yeah, it irks you, but you know that it's real because you've seen it before.
It is very real. It's very real, but the entitlement from a rookie that has achieved no real stance in the argument bothers me. That's the only thing that bothers me, whether it's Zion or anybody else. You having one good year individually, guys didn't make the playoffs. They finally
But the weird thing about Achane, though, it just wasn't a good year. He was doing things statistically, even in the wing power forward spot, the little hybrid spot that we'd never seen before. Like the points in the paint in the game, points in the paint were like that of like Shaq. He was going fucking 18 points a game in the paint for fucking 20 games in a row.
Can I ask you this? Let's say they give him a max and he plays one season. Was it worth it?
Well, they have to give him a max, in my opinion, or you have to trade him for a boatload. If you don't give him a max, you lose the value of your asset because he's asset.
So let's say they want to go to New York.
Fucking,
what are you getting from New York?
RJ Barrett. Let's make that transition. I think this is enough talk about Zion. Let's make that transition.
What time is it?
Let's make that transition. It's 10:50. Let's make the transition. Trae Young.
Richard has to go.
No. Go ahead. Trae Young.
Trae Young runs New York. That was a tweet. Trae Young runs New York, 45 points, 8 assists, 7 threes last night, the moment that was had. I feel like the two of you would love this conversation, so I jumped ahead. How do we feel about it?
He does. He joins a long list of people that have owned New York. Michael Jordan, he owned Reggie Miller. I will go as far to say as Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd owned the Nets, owned the Knicks. He owned the Knicks. Go look at the record. The one time they made the postseason during the 6-year stretch that Jason Kidd was there, they made one postseason. They played the New Jersey Nets and they swept them out when they had Stephon Marbury. So there's a long list of individuals. I didn't say I did. I said Jason Kidd, and I just happened to be along with it.
From a social media standpoint, though, Rich, you own New York.
let's just say I'm keeping myself.
Kobe owns New York.
Like there's been lots of players and
Tim Duncan barbecued
and
New York.
Everyone barbecued New York, bro. Like this is not even me being disrespectful.
What's the difference, though? Do they own New York the way in which Trae with the fans, et cetera?
Yes. Reggie did. Okay. Michael did. I would say Jason Kidd did, right? And you had
Kobe was talking that
but
shit.
But see, Kobe
too.
Was more of like, that's the thing. When you got there, there was more Kobe fans in the building than there were Knicks fans. So that's always a little like weird. It's like, who are the people that will show up and it will be 90% Knicks fans to hate on that person? And Trae Young is that. Right. Trae Young would show up. Atlanta doesn't travel. Atlanta doesn't have a fan base like that. Atlanta has a few basketball fans and then they have Trae Young fans, right? That's who they are. Atlanta is. That's it. They hate the 95% of the people that are showing up in that building are to boo Trae Young. And he just fucking.
Or Julius Randle.
Julius Randle. He bends them over their knees and just spanks them 44 times.
Oh, dude, spanky.
Bend them over their knees. Come over here. And they get all mad. And Trey's like, I don't even care. I'm not even your real dad. I'm your stepdad.
45 is crazy. 45 points after talking shit is
Do you know what he would have done? He got COVID and couldn't, I think it was COVID, and couldn't play on Christmas Day because he was supposed to be there Christmas Day.
He would have 95.
Why? Just because the Knicks, the Knicks fan base will never truly understand the way the rest of the NBA looks at you guys and how obnoxious you are. And it's not obnoxious because look, the Yankees, you can be obnoxious because the Yankees are great. You can be obnoxious about your Jets because look, your Jets are good. There's nothing to be obnoxious about if you're a huge Knicks fan, but you still say, oh, the Garden's the best. No, it's not. The Garden is an amazing, magical place to play. But like, if that's your home arena, there's billion-dollar stadiums that are being built every single year that are exponentially nicer, have more amenities, have more availability for your family. Players don't look at the Garden and be like, oh, this is great. I get to walk up this hill. I have this little bitty. No, like they have like so many more amenities for so many other arenas at this point in time. The Garden is just a name. It's a beautiful place to play. It's magical, but it's not drawing in people the way you guys want to. So until you recognize that and at least change your thinking, which I love New Yorkers, they're not going to. That's what makes it fun to be a villain.
All right, we've got 5 minutes left. Give me your hot take of the week. Channing, you go first when it comes to the NBA.
Philly is fake. Mm. Philly is fake. And here's my hot take.
Okay, keep going. Just wrote the headline.
I have a stat.
Keep going.
No, here's what I'll say. What I said on TV is Joel Embiid and James Harden are relying on free throws too much. They don't finish plays enough. So I have an actual stat.
Road tripping's tripping.
Oh, okay, so Harden and Embiid have made 169 nice made shots. They've made 237 combined free throws. Did you watch? I forgot the game it was, I think Saturday, where James Harden had the opportunity to make two layups for game to tie the game. And then one of them was just a brick, and the other one was an offensive foul against Toronto. Remember, he elbowed Boucher right in his jaw. What I'm saying is James Harden and Joel at the end of games look for fouls too much. That is not going to equate to wins in the playoffs.
Yeah, because good teams aren't going to foul nearly as much.
They're not going to foul them. I also think that Tobias Harris usage, he was having a great year, and I'm not saying this because he's my cousin, but actually because I liked the way he was playing. He was more of a playmaker. James Harden is not playing off the ball. So Tobias and Matisse Thybulle have no movement, and they're just standing there. So when I thought, oh, Tyrese Maxey is balling, why is he balling? Because now you're playing, excuse me, you have three guys playing one-on-one, and everyone else gets the scraps. That's not going to work in the playoffs. No one else is going to have confidence because you're bringing, number one, your bench is shitty. Then number two, the guys that you need to get 10, 15, 20 points, don't even have that opportunity. There's no movement. There's no flow to the offense. It's like James Harden, dribble, 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 one-on-one. If I'm off, I'm off. And then that's it.
Yeah, no, okay. So let's touch in on that point really quickly. I agree. I it's weird. I feel like over the last, mainly from COVID, from right around COVID, maybe a year or two ago, we've changed so many conversations about the NBA, about, oh, well, when they get healthy, they'll figure it out. Like we've said that. We've said that last year about the Lakers. We said it last year about the Brooklyn Nets. We're saying it this year about the Brooklyn Nets. We're saying it this year now about the Warriors. We're saying it this year about the Philadelphia 76ers. At what point in time have the playoffs used to not be about figuring it out? That was the test. All the other shit you would do in the homework, like was the homework. The 82 was the homework and the studying, and then the test came. But now all of a sudden we're making it seem like the homework gets to continue in the postseason. It's like the homework gets to continue. That's not the way this goes. And we've been saying it so much, right? About, oh, once they get there, then they can figure it out. Will they have enough time to figure it out? Well, ultimately, history has told us no. How do we know these things? One, like no team, I think one team below a six seed or a six seed or below has ever won a championship. So like as ever, and the one team that did it was the Houston Rockets, I believe it, and they were the defending champions. So it'd be like Milwaukee getting healthy at the end of the season, right? And then like figuring out. We're not talking about the Lakers or the Brooklyn Nets or the Philadelphia 76ers, teams that have made these trades and all these other stuff. So like, I just, this conversation, like the Golden State Warriors ideally could get Steph back one or two games before Draymond, whatever, and then they could catch fire and do what we expect them to do, right? Like, they're the one team because they have three championships, six finals appearances, right? Five or six. They got six.
15, 16, 17.
I don't know. Whatever. They got a lot. So just for me, I just look at it from that standpoint of like, I'm getting tired of having that conversation of like, these teams are going to figure it out. Well, in the history of the NBA, the 75, how many teams have figured it out? Three, two. Before I don't know that. I'm just saying, like, in recent history, in the last 25 years, 30 years, one team. So that's my thought. I love you guys. I gotta go. Allie, do
okay,
we have
so
some
no hot
things?
Takes for you. With that said, let me just take a drink, close it out. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, rate, review. If you want to call, text us. You know the number, 6575-CALL-RT. We want to hear from you. That'll do it for another edition of Road Tripping.